Ready to pop the question? The jewelers at BlueNile.com have got sparkle down to a science with beautiful lab-grown diamonds worthy of your most brilliant moments. Their lab-grown diamonds are independently graded and guaranteed identical to natural diamonds, and they're ready to ship to your door. Go to BlueNile.com and use promo code LISTEN to get $50 off your purchase of $500 or more. That's code LISTEN at BlueNile.com for $50 off. BlueNile.com, code LISTEN.
With LinkedIn Jobs, we tap into a network of more than a billion professionals to help you find quality professionals quickly and easily for any role you need. Marketing wizards? Found them.
Software engineers?
Found.
That project manager I could never seem to hire?
And found. LinkedIn Jobs quickly matches your roles with candidates with the right skills and experience. In fact, 86% of small businesses get a qualified candidate within 24 hours. Post your first job for free and get started at linkedin.com/spoken. That's linkedin.com/spoken. Terms and conditions apply.
That's fucking brilliant days. Brilliant days.
Get a drink.
Hello everyone and welcome to another episode of the Rotor Report podcast in association with the Sunderland Community Soup Kitchen. And disappointingly, we're here to talk about Sunderland losing their first game of the season away at Burton Albion. I'm not going to blabber on too much. We'll get straight into it, I think. I'm joined by Chris Wynn. How's Chris?
Aye, not bad. I was better before that. But, let's get into it.
Yeah, and making his first appearance of the season as Bomber. How are we doing, mate?
Yeah, all right, Gav. Yeah, wish it could be in better circumstances, but
I know. It's a strange one, isn't it, Chris? Because I'm sort of gutted that we lost because we played so well tonight. Like, we didn't play badly and we've got beat. And we'll come on to the offside. We'll leave that for now. I'll just quickly get your thoughts on the overall performance tonight. What did you make of it?
Yeah, I thought there was only one team who wanted to play football. I thought it was a team who wanted to play football, playing against an organised physical side, and I thought at times we looked a level above Burton, and I'm just kind of gutted we didn't beat them, just because we looked, there was patches of the game where we just looked head and shoulders above them, better than them, playing football, playing nice stuff, getting, you know, the chances we had, you know, I mean, put it this way, that McGeady goal goes in, and Burton aren't getting back into the game. We're going off into the distance if McGeady scores that.
Yeah. It's been a while since we've had one of these sort of performances, Bomber, isn't it? Where we totally dominate, yet come away with nothing.
Yeah, it is. You know, we've been so Jekyll and Hyde over the last couple of years. I can't remember us playing so well and not coming away with 3 points. You know, generally in seasons past, you know, we've played poorly and lost games and we've come on here and said, oh, we didn't really deserve that. I can probably count on one hand the amount of times that we've come in recording after a game and saying, you know, we've lost that, but we played really, really well and didn't deserve to lose it. We've just got to take the positives from it, really. And there were plenty of them.
Let's talk about the offside then. Who thinks it was off and who thinks it was on? I've watched it about 20 or 30 times back, frozen it. And it's so close, but I do think he was on just. I think there's a split second where he's level, where the ball's struck. But it's, like, so close. I mean, the linesman has to be sure when he makes that decision, Chris, yeah. Doesn't he?
Well, that's it for me. And the thing is, I came, you know, I watched the game and I kind of came away to do this pod absolutely fuming. And then I've seen a bit back afterwards. And I've calmed down a little bit because it was closer than I thought. You know, in real time, when you watched it with the delay with the camera going across, I thought, how is he in an offside position? Because he must be level with a defender the way he's attacking the ball. So how is he offside? How is he getting himself in an offside position? It's almost impossible. But then that angle from the side of the pitch, I think Flanagan's taken up a since he's a defender, he hasn't got that natural instinct to kind of take a step back and then wait for the cross. And it's closer than I thought it was, so I've calmed down a little bit, I have to admit. But it's one of them, it's, you know, you'd like to think the linesman gives the benefit of the doubt, but, you know, it's that tight. It's probably a toss of a coin.
What about you, Bomber?
I was the same as Chris, mate. In real time, I was like, pulling my hair out, what little hair I've got left, pulling it out, and thinking, how is that ever even considered offside, but having seen the footage from it side on, you know, I'm quite firmly in the camp of it being offside. However, in the absence of VAR, officials, specifically linesmen for those sorts of decisions, have to be 100% certain to give those decisions. And if there's any doubt, you don't give those decisions. It's easy in the Premier League and in Europe because they have VAR, so they can go with their gut instinct and they can be proven right or wrong, and the right decision always comes out in the wash. However, you know, Championship and below, you have to be 100% certain in your decisions, and there's no way in real time he could be 100% certain of that. So for me, he should be keeping it down. However, I do think it was offside.
Yeah. Let's talk about Dan Neil very quickly, because I just think he was the best player on the pitch for both teams tonight. Don't know if anybody has anything to add on that. I just think he was class. I mean, we all knew this kid had ability, but the way he's just come into the team and looks even a level above the teams he's playing against. I mean, we've played three difficult teams. I actually tip Burton to make the playoffs this season, and I think they've got enough about them to definitely be in the mix. MK Dons, I think they won tonight. So, you know, I think I also thought they would be up there. And then there's Wigan, who everyone's expecting to be in the promotion mix. So there's three difficult games we've started with. And for Dan Neil, and he's just steadily got better, hasn't he? He's tonight he was outstanding for me, Chris.
Yeah. He just looks. And we said this last season, though. Whenever he came in for a game, we just said he just looks so smooth and comfortable on the ball. He doesn't look out of place whenever he came in for the odd game. Obviously, question marks with his age and how long is he going to last and all this sort of stuff. But he's answering those questions this season, and he's, you know, he's neat and tidy on the ball. He hardly gives away possession. He just looks like a very good League One player at such a young age. The only caveat I would have is that the period leading up to the goal is that we missed Evans in there in that period leading up to the goal. The 10-15 minutes that led up to Burton getting their goal, where we were a bit, you know, we were a bit rattled. And the problem is, I suppose, with Dan Neil at that point, you know, he had Luke O'Neill alongside him, who was trying to, you know, win the ball back and have that bite in midfield. But I think with a ball player like Dan Neil, I think he showed at times that he hasn't quite got that bite to try and, you know, battle and win the ball back during those periods. So you need players like Evans alongside him for that bit of protection, because Dan Neil's a ball player and he's gonna get some assists this season if he gets some games. You can see the way what I like about it as well. He doesn't just pass the ball. A couple of times he fizzes the ball into somebody's feet in the edge of the box, and he kind of puts people in like that. And if he carries on like this, I mean, it'll be hard for Lee Johnson to take him out.
The other pleasing aspect for me, Bomber, was just the way we played generally. Like, I know we touched on it at the start. It's difficult because we didn't score, but at times tonight it's like night and day, isn't it, compared to last season? Just the standard of the football, the way that we created chances, you know, the variety, having a striker up front who actually links the play and does the job of a striker. It's such a shame that we didn't actually come away with something tonight, isn't it?
It is. I mean, you said there, it's difficult to say. It's not difficult. You know, we on another day, any other day, that performance results in a 3 or 4-0 victory quite easily. You know, you've got the Stewart chance in the first half where he probably should have dinked it, although he was quite far out, but he should have dinked it over the keeper. Keeper was miles off his line. You had the McGeady one. There was a couple of others. You know, 9 games out of 10, those sorts of chances, they go in. And you just have to chalk it up to being one of those days, you know. You see it up and down the football pyramid, week in, week out. A team will have it 2 or 3 times a season where they completely dominate a team in all the stats, in all the chances, in all the possession and the territory, etc., and end up losing 1-0. And tonight we've just been on the end of that. And I think that's what we have to step back, take a look at and realise, is that if you take the scoreline out of it, and I know it sounds silly because the scoreline is effectively what matters because we've come away with no points, but you take the scoreline out of it, and if that is, if these last three games, and in particular, I think tonight, are anything to go by and are a kind of a precursor to how our season's going to go, I quite confidently say it's going to be our best season that we've had in League One.
Yeah.
Yeah, well, just quickly, I mean, just on Bomber's point about taking the scoreline out, Burton won with only one shot on target, to kind of put that into a bit of perspective. But the other thing I was going to mention, Bomber, just quickly, because me and you last year were probably, I'm trying to think of a better word here, we're probably the most vicious about Charlie Wake on our pods last season.
Yeah, that's fair.
And I know a lot of people were kind of saying, well, you know, look at all the goals, lads. How are, you know, come on. And in the end, we kind of had to bite our tongue. But for me, you know, I know, kind of, we talked about it a bit. It wasn't so much that just the goals. If you look at what Ross Stewart did tonight, he came short, won the ball, held it up, played it easy. He went in behind. He chased the defenders. It was kind of almost like a complete forwards performance.
Yeah, he did everything that Charlie White didn't do last season. Yeah,
exactly. But what that gives us is it gives us options and it gives us different ways of playing. We can play it long. We can play it short. And it showed tonight exactly what you said there, Gav. The way we played was because we can keep possession because we've got someone up front who we can hit with different types of balls. And it's just, I mean, going forward, if we play like that, in games for the rest of the season, we'll win more than we lose and we draw. Tonight was one which we deserve to win and we shouldn't have gotten beat, and we'll win most games playing like that.
Yeah,
the stats are pretty compelling. Like 20 shots tonight, 61% percent of the possession, 9 corners. Just if you were just looking at those stats, you wouldn't guess we got beat tonight. And I know you win nothing for starting. First and foremost, fair play to Burton. They've played 3 games this season and they've won 3 games. And I can see why, because they're very organised. They've got quality. I mean, they had the one thing we didn't have tonight. They had one shot on target and they went in the back of the net. That lad on the wing, I think, was it Johnny Smith? I mean, great goal. And he nearly got another, doing the same thing, cutting in off the wing and pinging it.
You know. Hasselbank looks like he's in the midst of another really, really good job there, doesn't he? If things carry on like that for him.
He did a good job at Burton the first time he was there, didn't he?
He
I can remember the first time he was there, he got poached away, didn't he? Did he go to QPR and it didn't work out for him? But like in pre-season, when I was trying to work out who I thought would be in and around those playoff spots, Burton were one of the first ones to come to mind, because I thought last season when he went back there, they looked very good. You know, he got them. Yeah. He got them organised. You know, he got them playing the way that suits the players that he's got to his disposal. Yeah.
Well, they were dead and buried, weren't they? By the time he came in, everyone had written them off as relegation fodder, and the job he did just last season, and he's just continued that into this season. So fair play. I think I match what you're thinking, Gavin. That they'll be up and around there if they can carry that on.
Yeah, and I mean, I thought Aikens was very impressive for them. That, you know, they had to defend a lot tonight, and he was like a brick wall down our right-hand side. I mean, we just couldn't get through him, to the point where the winger switched sides, you know, to try and work around him and hoping McGeady would maybe be able to get a bit more out of him than Gooch did. But I mean, I thought McGeady had a poor game tonight.
Yeah.
He's not been like brilliant, and I feel like he's maybe carrying an injury or a knock or something. But nothing seemed to really go right for him. And I thought if there was one criticism of Johnson tonight, it's that he made his subs a little bit too late. I think we could all see that the two wingers were struggling. And I can understand keeping Gooch on the pitch when you're getting beat 1-0. He can play a left-back. Serkan, the no, hasn't had a lot of minutes in pre-season. So I think the plan probably, regardless of the result, would have been to take him off around 70 minutes anyways. So I can understand keeping Gooch on because he can play a left back. He offers us something from an attacking perspective. You know, but I really think that bringing off McGeady was pretty obvious even at half time to me. I don't know. I don't know what you two think. I just think that he was a little bit slow with his changes tonight, and that's being hypercritical, to be honest.
No, 100%. Absolutely 100%. There was a 10-minute period before they scored where you just knew it was coming. They were getting on top. They were pinning us in a little bit. And, I mean, talking about Gooch and McGeady, I would have brought all that the three behind Ross Stewart off. I would have brought Gooch, Embleton and McGeady off for Diamond, Pritchard and Broadhead, and kind of freshened it up, because we weren't getting any joy down either flank. And I would have changed all that back line behind, the forward line behind Ross Stewart. I would have changed all three of them out in that kind of 10-minute period.
Do you think that would have been a little bit harsh on Embleton, Chris. I don't know what your other people's opinion on him, but I thought he was actually really good, and a lot of the good stuff came from him. Maybe not directly, but you know, we talk about assisting the assisters nowadays. You know, I thought a lot of the stuff that was good for us did come through him. I was quite surprised to see him come off.
I thought it did, but kind of during that period, he couldn't get the ball and he couldn't get a grip on the game. And I just think in that, to kind of get us back into the game, I would have just kind of freshened the whole forward lineup and given Burton something to think about. But
yeah, I guess it's not as if Diamond's not good enough. Or those three aren't good enough, is it? So
no, I would have had Diamond's pace down the right to give Atkins a problem. I would have given Broadhead on the left and stuck Pritchard behind Stewart and given it, really freshened it up, because it needed it. We went flat in that second half.
Yeah, I think there's plenty of positives to take out the performance, really. It's just one of them. You said it before, but I was chalked up to one of those days where things don't go right for us. You know, we were very good. Arguably could and should have had an equaliser right at the death, and ultimately were beaten by just a really good goal, you know.
Another positive.
We're going to lose games this season, aren't we? We're not going to win every game.
No, we won't. And just to round up that positives while we're talking about him, how nice is it to see us have quite a bit of strength in depth on the bench as well? Mm. You know, we've got a bench full of players that can actually come on and make a difference and actually stake a claim for a starting place. You know, most of the players that are on the bench today, if you'd have seen him in the starting lineup, you couldn't really have argued or complained against it. It's nice to see. And again, it bodes well for the season.
I think we'll round off there, then we'll keep it nice and short tonight. We've got another game around the corner, of course, Wimbledon, which we'll be previewing this week. And we'll be back straight after the game with probably a podcast. So we'll dust ourselves down, as Steve Bruce used to say. It's just a difficult one to take when you've played so well, but it is what it is. Cheers, lads. Thanks for joining us. And as always, thanks for listening. Catch you later.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free, or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Hey everyone, Craig Robinson here. I want you to check out the Ways to Win podcast, brought to you by Ford and the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. On Ways to Win, Coach Cal and I will discuss leadership lessons we've learned. We know all about the days spent perfecting your craft outside of the limelight, and have knowledge to share about how strength, inspiration, encouragement, and adaptability are the key ingredients to drive toward your dreams. And those same ingredients can be found in the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. So check out my podcast, Ways to Win, and also check out the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. Learn more at Ford.com. Built Ford tough, built Ford proud.